back to convene the meeting. I beg your pardon. That being the case, I'd like to commence the meeting. with the board's permission, I'd like to take the opportunity to sort of navigate again to put some of the items in front that require a vote in the event that the trustee may have to leave. Excuse me. That being the case, I'd like to open with item two, approval of the meeting minutes from the August 18th meeting. If it's with the board's pleasure, you can vote. I'd appreciate if you would do it by name identification.
This is Kathy Graves. I move that we accept the minutes from the August 18th meeting as presented.
So moved.
Mario Zingari, I second the motion.
Motion and properly made and second. Is there discussion on the motion? All in favor, indicate by aye with name identification.
Kathy Graves, aye.
Mario Zingari, aye.
Susan Whetstone, aye.
Michael Gormany, aye.
Jerry Sagnella, aye. Item number three, which is information only. It does not require the deliberation or the vote of the trustees. This is annual age annuity, rule of 80, early retirement. Unless there are any questions that the trustees might have on item three, we can proceed to item four. Conditional member retirement information only. Conditional member is a term that's used for an employee who is going to leave employment with the city, no longer be a member of the fund, obviously, at that point, has satisfied the vestment rule of 10 years, but is not eligible to retire. They do not have the amount of years necessary to receive an age annuity. if they want to, they can leave the city and take their contributions in the fund as of that date, and they no longer have any involvement in the pension fund, and they have nothing coming from the fund. They have the option to leave their contributions in the fund at a later date when they qualify for retirement. They can start receiving a pension from the retirement fund. they can retire without a penalty at age 65, and they can receive a retirement up to 10 years prior to that with a early retirement penalty applied at age 55. So I just want you to understand what the conditional retirement is. So this individual is leaving the city. They've opted to leave their contributions in the plan. They have the 10 years, minimum of 10 years requirement as a participant in the fund, but they, as of the date of retirement, they do not have the necessary years of participation for them to start receiving an immediate retirement benefit. Again, information only. Are there any questions that the trustees might have on item four?
No.
Item five, contribution withdrawals, information only. These are individuals, obviously, who are leaving the fund, are not entitled to a benefit, and are receiving their employee contributions back. Any questions on item five?
No.
Item six. I'm going to take item 6A, 7A, and 8A collectively. Death after retirement, Thomas Rotzel. Survivor death after retirement, Jane Stevens, and death while an active member, John Steele. I'd like to ask the trustees to take a moment of silence and the repose of their souls. Rest in peace. Item number nine, disability retirement reexamination. Pamela McCain, as I've indicated, when an employee retires on a disability from our fund, the requirement of the plan language is that within the first 5 years of disability retirement, they have to be re-examined by the medical consultant for the board three times. And after the, to determine if the debilitating condition still exists to the point that they cannot work. This particular employee, Pamela McCain, has been given her second re-exam. The medical consultant has reported their finding, and the trustees must now vote to determine if they are going to allow the disability to continue. And you should have a medical report that's been provided to you. And if so, what is the board's pleasure on item 9?
This is Kathy Graves. I move that we accept the reexamination as presented.
Motion made.
Mr. Chair, this is Mark Pepperswell, and I second that motion.
Motion is made and second. Is there discussion on the motion? In the absence of a motion has been properly made and second, all in favor by a name vote, identifying yourself.
Kathy Graves, aye.
Mario Zangari, aye.
Susan Whetstone, aye.
Michael Garmany, aye.
Mark Pedersimone, aye.
Jerry Sagnola, aye. If we can move on to item 10, payment of bills. What's the board's pleasure on item 10?
Mr. Chair, Mark Pedersimone, I move for the approval of the bills on item 10.
Motion made.
Kathy Graves, second.
Motion's been made. Second, is there discussion on this motion? In the absence of a motion been properly made and second, all in favor indicate so by name identification.
Kathy Graves, aye.
Mario Zangari, aye.
Susan Whetstone, aye.
Michael Gormley, aye.
Mark Pedersimone, aye.
Jerry Signal, aye. Item 11, thank old you. Business. Is any old business that the trustees would like to address? If not, item 12, new business. I'd like to just get a thought for some, maybe we can think about this, not to vote on at this particular time. But a couple of trustees have spoken to me and had wondered if it was possible if the financial discussion at the beginning of the meeting or wherever it falls in the agenda, if the detail, level of detail that is being presented, which is excellent, but if it's if that could be done possibly on a quarterly basis, having a financial report given at each meeting, that would continue to happen. But the degree of specificity and detail that goes into the report, if that can be done on a quarterly basis, which is done with other pension funds, from what I understand, unless there's a situation that requires an urgency, and the financial consultant at that point can come to the board and address that situation anytime they want. We can have a special meeting if there is, again, an emergency situation that requires our attention. I'm just curious to see what some of the thoughts are from the other trustees, if they think that's worthwhile pursuing.
I think it's worthwhile to do it that way. It's what most people, most organizations do. And we wind up having a meeting that covers routine stuff. And we don't spend enough time monthly on the financial. And I think having a meeting that just is financial once a quarter would be a better way and a more efficient way to handle it, and emergencies can be taken up as an emergency if the financial people think there's something that has to be had immediately. And so I would like to move, make a motion if it doesn't work.
Before we actually go to a vote, what I was thought maybe some of the other trustees would like to give their opinion, if they wish, from a point of...
Jerry, what are you talking about? Just a regular meeting to handle business monthly, and then an additional meeting quarterly to discuss financial...
No, not additional meeting, Mark. What I'm saying is that for the normal meetings, monthly meetings that we have, we can have a sort of an abbreviated report by Derek and his representatives, and on a quarterly basis, give a detailed report on the fund's financial state. But he would still give a report at each meeting, indicating what the most importantly, you know, what the fund's performance is as of that date.
So, what wouldn't we get? If they're doing a fund review at each meeting, what are you talking about eliminating? Just for clarity.
Yeah, that's the point.
I beg your pardon?
Kathy's right. It's solely quarterly financial. And we get all the details and you don't have a report every month. We just get it every quarter. If there's a problem, they'll tell us. Otherwise, we can handle the regular, normal business on a monthly basis. And once a quarter, you have a meeting that's just on finances.
Let me ask, can I ask Derek?
Can I jump in? One of the concerns I would have is we're relying on the financial managers to say, oh, well, this is a problem. And that puts an awful lot of responsibility on them. It's really our job to accept the information and to say, gee, isn't that a problem? And I'm just a little concerned we could find ourselves in a position with them where we're saying, well, why didn't you tell us that was a problem? I'd rather see them reporting every month. If you want to do something a little more truncated, but I think it shifts the responsibility for oversight to Derek, which I don't think is really fair because that's our job.
I agree.
Okay, well, this has been being brought up right now in a new business. What I'd like to do is because it's so new, have this issue, you can think about it in the next month, and I'd like to put it on the agenda publicly as an item for the trustees to further discuss and to issue a vote on. And I think that, you know, that would be good from a legal standpoint, because that's something that, you know, I think should be publicized when this agenda goes to the has to be put out to the public 24 hours before a meeting. So anything that is an issue that might require a vote from the trustees, I think, you know, maybe at the next meeting, we should actually have this issue put down as a formal item on the agenda. So anybody getting the agenda, you know, within the 24 hours prior to the meeting will be aware of it. And if they have commentary on it, they have the right to do that at that point.
Jerry, could I ask for clarity about two things?
I beg your pardon, I can't hear you, Susan.
Could I ask you to clarify two things? What you said was fine. I just still have some questions about this conversation.
Yep.
So one of them is, I think I'm hearing two different things. I think one person saying we would just have a financial report every quarter. I also thought I heard that there'd be some kind of briefer financial report at every meeting with a detailed financial report every quarter. So I wanted to get clarity about what was being proposed. The second thing is, if there is to be a briefer report, I think it would be helpful if we could see what that would look like, you know, kind of going to what Kathy was saying. What are we not going to get? What are we not going to see that we see now?
Well, is Derek's here, am I correct?
Yes, Derek's here.
Derek?
You're on mute.
I mean, he's the financial consultant. I think I'd like to just hear what his thoughts are.
Hello? Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay. I don't know what happened.
Have you heard what we've discussed so far? And again, I think there is maybe two versions that are out there, but number one would be just the financial consultant presenting a formal report to the board on a quarterly basis, unless there's something that is of an urgency that the trustee can come to the financial consultant can come to the trustees of the board at any time that he or she wishes. And the other one was that there still be a abbreviated report the trustees can present, the financial consultant can present at a meeting and have the detailed, longer report given on a quarterly basis. As the financial, one of the financial consultants, what is your take on that?
Yeah, so we've, can you hear me now?
Yes.
Okay,
yes.
Thank you. So we've seen a multitude of different scenarios. Yes. What the majority of public pension funds do, we've seen is just a quarterly investment report where we come in and we talk about the capital markets like we always do on a monthly basis. We give the full financial report of the fund. We look at, you know, obviously money managers, all the things that we do here every month. Typically happens on a quarterly basis. We've also seen on a monthly basis, we could do anything or everything that you'd like. It doesn't matter to us. We've been doing this for a number of years monthly, but we can just send in a flash report that we see, that you guys see every month, that has the performance of the fund. That can still come to you all every month if you'd like, so you can see it. You know, just a lot of the commentary that we've heard is that, you know, we talk about the same things every single month. And, you know, I know the markets are moving every single minute, but a lot of the overall themes are, you know, long-term investment themes. You know, this is a fund that you're looking, you know, we're assuming 20, 30 years out. So not a lot changes month to month. So I think quarterly, to Trustee Zangari's point, is probably sufficient. Obviously, if there's financial turmoil or something urgent that we say, hey, we should speak to you folks, we will bring that to the table. But we've seen more often times than not, it's a quarterly report. So it's the, everything we do here monthly would be quarterly. We're happy to come monthly. The material and the work is being done either way. It's no hassle to us. It's just a matter of what level of detail do you folks want? Do you want us to come in every month? Do you want us to talk about just a flash report on a monthly basis? Do you want us to talk about the market and the flash report? Do we want to talk about interview money managers on a monthly basis? Or do you want that into a quarterly, more deeper dive on a quarterly basis and keep your things monthly more brief? That's up to you all. But we're willing to, it's kind of a menu. We can do any or all that you wish. It's really just what you folks want. But it is very customary to do a quarterly investment report for clients. That's very typical.
Gary, this is Mark Petrosmal. Can I ask a question? This comparative performance report you refer to as a flash report, I really do think it's necessary that we see this every month. Now, would what's being proposed here, would you give like a 2 or 3 minute presentation monthly on the performance report? And then I know usually after you give your performance report, you go into the secondary report, which is more the market and stuff like that. That on a quarterly basis? I mean, would we see you on a monthly basis just for a quick overview of how we stand that month? From the comparative performance report, or is that being proposed for that to be moved monthly also?
We can do whatever you'd like, Mark. I'm assuming that was for me. So, I mean, certainly we can, either send the, we plan on sending that. You definitely, I agree with you. You should definitely see your performance report on a monthly basis. We can send it to you and you for your all, for your review, independent review. I could come in and give a quick overview of what's going on with it and then skip the market commentary for a quarterly. I could do all of that. You know, I could do the, it's up to you. If you want to see me every month, I'm happy. Whatever you folks want is fine with me.
Okay.
So that's up to you. I mean, that's, I'm here at your, you know, asking.
In terms of whatever's going to be our future discussion on this, I mean, I would, for me, I would still want to see the monthly, the performance report with Derek or with whoever's the financial consultant so that we have the opportunity to ask questions, clarify things in the performance report. But I feel as a board member here that that's like our whole job is, you know, oversight of performance. And I think looking at it monthly is almost a minimum to me. The deeper dive report, I guess I could get comfortable having that on a quarterly basis, although I've actually benefited from having it every month because it kind of sets you up for what to expect the next month, where the markets are going. But that's my two cents.
Well, I think you can see here that the trustees have legitimate attitudes on this one way or the other. And again, that being the case, since it's under new business and it's sort of like dropping a dime on somebody, I didn't expect to have a vote today anyway. So if the trustees would like, I can have this. You have a month to digest it, or even longer. And we can come back next meeting, have it on the agenda as a formal issue or formal item, and go further with it. And whatever the case will be, the trustees will decide how they want it done. Is that all right with the trustees?
That works.
Okay.
Jerry, so if you're putting that, it's informal or formal request you're making.
Say again, Mario.
I'm saying, is this a formal request? You know, idea of where we stand on it.
It's food.
Nobody's made a motion to do that.
Well, it's just food for thought. It's under new business, so it's just food for thought. Something for us to.
If it's just food for thought, then
something to consider for future meeting.
Right.
Okay.
So we broached the subject today, but we're not going to definitively vote one way or another on it, and the trustees will. We'll have it on the agenda as a formal item for the next meeting. And again, that satisfies the rule that these agendas have to be posted no later than 24 hours before the meeting so that the public, general public, has an opportunity to look at these items. And you never know. I mean, somebody from the general public might have some say on that or an attitude on it. So I'm just saying that we broached the subject today as a new business item, not for a vote. Issues came forward. The financial consultant has discussed it with us. Trustees have different attitudes on it. And that being the case, I think it's important enough to have its own vote for the next meeting.
Jerry, may I ask another question, please? I don't have a copy of our procedures and rules and code, you know, the things that govern what we do. But I think someone should take a look at it and make sure that there's nothing in there that says something like you will review monthly, you know. I just think we need to look at our procedures and make sure that we're not going to be.
That's a good point, Susan. And Liana? Is Liana there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Hi, Liana.
Hi.
How you been?
Good.
If you can do me a favor, and if you can contact Carolyn, and number one,
she's in the meeting.
Carolyn, I'm sorry, Carolyn.
While we're doing other things, I'll look at the bylaws and I will let you know right now if that's required by the bylaws.
All right, now Susan makes an important point. She's saying she doesn't have the bylaws. The trustees, are there any other trustees right now who do not have the bylaws that were recently enacted for the board?
Yeah, Jerry, they were sent to us. I just don't have it immediately in front of me.
Okay, right. So you have access to it.
Yes, yeah. Okay.
Very good. And Carolyn, you're going to look into the legality.
I'm looking at it right now while you're talking about other things.
Okay, fine. That's good. How efficient, Carolyn?
Well, we'll see.
I didn't know you were there, Carolyn. I looked at these little faces up there. I didn't see your beautiful face, though.
Oh, thank you.
All right. So that's what we'll do. If we can go back to item one, which is the financial report.
Jerry, this is Leanne. I think Derek wanted to bring one more thing up under new business.
Sure. I'm sorry. Go ahead, Derek.
Oh, no problem. I just, I guess I didn't get it added to the agenda early enough. I just wanted to talk about the investment guidelines.
Sure.
And discuss with you folks about the different things under alternatives. So I just wanted to, I asked that Leanna compare and contrast the guidelines between police and fire and SURF, not that you are the same entity, but just to kind of give you a different view of what some other funds do with their guidelines. And I wanted to perhaps have you think about perhaps a tweak to the guidelines. So this one is for police and fire. So Leanne, I'm not sure what page it is. It's the one that shows the ranges. It's pretty deep in, I'll tell you when. Talks about the investment ranges. Going. Oh, what was that? There we go, right there. So as you can see, so one of the things, Leanne, if you could just pull up SURFs as well, and we could just toggle back and forth. Perfect, it's right here. So scroll down just a smidge there under alternatives. So what I wanted to address was the alternatives. SURF's investment policy statement has under alternatives every different subsection of alternatives. So you have absolute return, equity hedge, equity return, private credit, private equity, private real estate, managed futures. And as you can see, each have various ranges and target allocations. We think as the markets start to get a little bit potentially more difficult in the years to come, it might make sense to be a little bit more broad brush under alternatives. And the reason being, if you go back to the police and fire, Leanna, for 1 minute, as you can see, alternatives for police and fire, it says private equity, private real estate, special situations, and other. By being more flexible in that regard, it gives you the ability to get a little bit more diversified within that space and not really put a definitive, okay, well, we need managed futures, we need special private credit, because a lot of these funds, like if you think about the presentation from Basis that just happened last month, they are in between real estate, private credit, and private debt and private real estate. They're not really clearly defined. And as you see more and more of these managers, there's really not a clear delineation in strategy. And it's very hard for us to say, okay, where does this fall in the investment policy statement? And we obviously need to adhere to that because that's those are your bylaws, your Bible, so to speak. And if you're a little bit more ambiguous on what you can have, so from private credit, private equity, private real estate, and then other, as long as the target allocations are, within reason. So the overall target, you can see for police and fire is 20%. And you can look to the right, their permissible ranges are 15 to 25%. So as long as you float between those two, you're in compliance with your IPS. Whereas if you go back to SURF for a moment, Same thing. So you see the overall alternatives is 24% target, and they range from 10 to 30. As long as you stay within those ranges, you're okay. But if you look down, like Equity Hedge, for example, well, Alkeon is considered a hedge fund, so that's under Equity Hedge. So is Balyasny. Now, if you think about what Alkeon really is, are they really a hedge fund? No, they're more of an equity manager. So it's hard. It's more difficult to define. And then you look at basis, like I just mentioned, are they private real estate or are they private credit? It's hard to really pigeonhole them into a space. So what we think makes sense is just tighten that up a little bit to just private, more like Police and Fire, just have private equity, private real estate, and then other. And then as long as, you know, we could adjust the ranges, as long as the ranges of the overall allocation fall within guidelines, I think that makes more sense. It'll make everybody's life easier just because, for example, right now we show a target of 7% to manage futures. We have zero managed futures. The ranges are 0 to 7. That's fine. But it shows that we're out of target, and that will then remove an opportunity from perhaps real estate or private equity, where we see, hey, that's really some good opportunity for the fund to be a little bit overweight real estate and private equity. And we don't really like managed futures at the moment. So by being this definitive in your guidelines, we think it might make sense to tweak that a little bit. I don't know if I've made myself clear. I knew I kind of went back and forth a bit. Does that make sense to everybody? Do you get what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Any thoughts on that? Comments, questions?
Well, the bottom line is, no matter what you do with the numbers, it's up to the trustees to determine what these investments are going to be within those numbers.
Correct. Right.
You know, again, me as an individual, I'm not that keen on alternative investments in many cases where they don't really indicate what the true value of the fund is at any given time. Usually our fund, you can tell at the close of any day at 5 o'clock, the true value of what the fund is. Am I correct?
With the exception of your illiquid, your real estate and your private equity, yes.
Right. So, I mean, as long as whatever we're doing here is not going to put the trustees in a position, and you can't answer that because in the end, the trustees have to answer that, but it's not going to put them in a position where they get an appetite to severely increase their investments in alternatives. I mean, our fund's performance today as compared to Police and Fire, and again, they do an excellent job with their investments, but we do not have the degree of alternative exposure as Police and Fire does. Am I correct?
Correct.
Okay. And our performance has been pretty much as good as theirs, right?
Depending on the year. Yeah. I mean, some years better than others.
Yeah. I'm just saying that I want to make sure that if we're going to do something, it's not going to be something where the we're sacrificing something in terms of exposure and risk.
No, so I'm not. Let me be a little more clear. So I'm not asking for you to consider changing or increasing your exposure to alternatives. All I'm asking is that you get a little less descript on this segment of alternatives. Because I think you're pigeonholing yourself into a corner with having this level of detail. There are too many buckets in that level of detail that should be filled, and not giving yourself enough latitude to go to wherever you might want to overweight or underweight in any given economic environment. So for us, we say, okay, there might be times where you want to overweight a certain sector of alternatives and underweight a certain sector of alternatives. But by guidelines, guidelines, you're very descript in various different areas of alternatives that we think might force us to have a weighting somewhere that we don't really think makes a lot of sense, i.e. example, managed futures.
Is this the type of thing, Eric, where you as a financial consultant would come back to us with an alternative document that you think that we should consider and vote on and have our legal counsel review it?
I mean, certainly we can make a recommendation that as to what your ranges should look like. Again, we're not, just to be clear, I'm not asking you to increase your alternatives weightings or ranges. I'm just trying to tighten up the verbiage in on the other subsectors of alternatives. But yes, certainly I can put together a sample alternatives allocation for your IPS to be considered.
What would you think that it might end up being? Because right now we have like 7.
Right.
Crunch it down to like 3 or 4, 2 or 3.
Yeah. So I actually like Police and Fires quite a bit. That's why I asked Leanna to add it. As you can see, the private equity and private real estate we have there, and then special situations / other. So it'd be something similar to that. And again, the overall ranges to alternatives would stay the same. The overall target would stay the same. So I'm not asking to increase that. I'm just saying, hey, let's just tighten up the subsectors to something more similar to police and fire.
Yeah, you make a lot of sense there.
It does, because right now we're boxed in.
Correct.
Something Jerry said, it looks like our alternatives, the overall permissible range is actually higher than police and fire.
That's correct.
Okay.
So we're not looking to change any of our ranges. We just won't be pigeonholing ourselves. For example, we'll have private equity, private real estate, other, and all of those others, all the heads, the return credit could fall right into other, for example.
Correct.
Right. So it's instead of managed future, it says special opportunities or something. Other. Yeah. Special situations. And leave everything else the same. Is that what you're basically saying? Okay. Then why don't we think about that in next month on the agenda? Jerry, put down that's one of the things we vote on so we can think about it more.
Right. I agree. But it's not changing anything. It's just not boxing us in and limiting us on the types of investments that are out there in the alternative space.
Right.
Correct.
Sounds good.
Thank you. I guess more food for thought.
More food for thought.
All right, so Jerry's going to put that on the agenda for next month, that we're going to make a decision on eliminating managed futures and putting in special situations.
Well, not just managed futures,
Look where our investment policy in alternatives will look more like police and fires, where they have private equity, private real estate, and other.
Right. Okay.
Situations.
Right.
But the percentage is going to stay the same.
Right. Nothing will change.
Good. Right. All right. So, Leon, you also make a note that should be on the agenda as an item.
Yes.
Yes, we will. Thank you.
Thank you, Leon.
Okay. Great. Thank you.
Thank you. So,
moving on to the performance report.
Go right ahead.
All right.
Excuse me, but I have to leave. I got to get to New Haven, and so I'm going to leave the performance report to the rest. Thank you.
Bye, Mara.
Bye, Mara.
So, Leanne, if you could just turn to page 5, please.
Question?
Okay, so as you can see, the fund is just under $222 million. Again, we are approaching an all-time high for the fund, so $221,704,000. This is through August 31st. The fund's continuing to do very, very well. The 1 month, you can see the fund is up 2.74%. For the quarter, up just under 4.4%. Year-to-date, 11.67%, so that's through the end of August, so January 1 to August 31. Fiscal year to date, obviously new fiscal year, up 3.93, still smooth sailing there. 1 year, 21.64. 2 years, just under 18.4% annualized per year. 3 years, just under 12.4% annualized per year. And then since inception back in 2008, so including the financial crisis, you see just under 6.7% per year. So you can see, obviously, if you include 2008 financial crisis and some of the other things we've seen in the market, that drags the performance down. But as we continue to do well, hopefully that will bring that long-term return up to our closer to our bogey. Moving on, I won't spend a lot of time because there's really not much different from last month. But you can see large cap growth is still at a lighter allocation, just under 12%. You know, so last year we overweighted large cap growth, it paid off, and then we rotated to large cap value a bit, and we're starting to see some of that those themes pay off. So you can see large cap growth is under 12% weighting. You're up 13.5 for the 3 months, 14.29 year to date, fiscal year to date, 6.88, and just under 20% for the 1 year. A lot of this underperformance is coming from the legacy manager, ClearBridge Large Cap Growth, which was terminated. And then we moved into the index funds that we spoke about. So that's basically where we are. Large cap value, actually, let me take a pause there. I think over the next month or two, we are going to conduct a search for a large cap growth manager, active manager, as the markets start to get a little bit more difficult to navigate, if you will, where we see some various things in the future that might make things a little more difficult. We might want to look away from indexing more into active equity managers. So going to, over the next few months, start to see, are there any large cap growth equity managers out there that make sense? And obviously bring them before you in way of a report, a quantitative report, and we can make decisions from there. Moving on, large cap value, Cook and Bieler, some slight underperformance short term, but if you look at long term, 1 year, 2 years, they're outperforming their benchmark. So they're doing well. They have about a $33 million sleeve, so doing well for us. And then we have the passive index, Vanguard passive index, for just under $10 million. You can see in line with the benchmark, 1.6, 19.3, 2.8, 36.5 1 year, 17.14 for 2 years. So some good performance there on the large cap value index. Fuller and Thaler, who is in, I believe, last month to speak, continues to do well. There are just a little over 10% weighting of the fund. You can see they're up 4% for the month, 3.67 for 3 months. So they're very much outperforming their benchmark of by 300 basis points. Year to date, they're up 26. That's 11% better than their benchmark, or 10.5% better. Fiscal year to date, 1.85 versus down 1.45. So this is where I like to highlight some of the active managers. So we believe in passive indexing when things are going well. Active or passive indexing makes sense. But here's an example where an active manager is really doing a good job. When you see their index or their benchmark is down 1.45 for fiscal year to date, and they're up 1.85. That's where stock selection and good methodology and discipline actually add value to the fund. And that's what one of the reasons why I think the large cap growth space, though that's a much more efficient space, it's hard to find equity managers in the large cap space that add value, but we're going to try to see if we can find some folks that might do a good job there. 1 year, you can see Fuller and Thaler was up just under 60%, tremendous numbers. 2 years, just under 32% per year. So doing a great job. WCM, we also saw them within the last few months. They came in and presented. That's International Equity. Again, they're besting their benchmark handily, 3.9 for the month, beating their benchmark of 1.76. For the quarter, they're up 8.67 versus 1.38. Year to date, up just under 18.8 versus 12. And fiscal year to date, 6.48 versus 2.5. And 1 year, 36 versus 26. Again, they've done well for us handily, done a great job for a number of years, and we're quite happy with WCM. And we've added to that exposure over time. So that's been a really good place for SURF to pick up some extra return. Moving on to the next page. Unless there's any questions with any of our equity managers. Okay. So fixed income, we're starting to see some, you know, so we are very light in our ranges. So again, this talks to our range on our fixed income portfolio in the IPS. We are purposefully light in our fixed income weightings just because the interest rate movements that are happening with the 10-year, what's happening with the Federal Reserve rate, are rates going to go up? Are they going to stay low, lower for longer? As those rates bounce around, there's a lot of money that is being made and lost within the fixed income market. So we're not overly bullish on the fixed income market. They are a necessary piece of the puzzle. They are the ballast. Typically, when things go terribly wrong in equity markets, things shift to cash and fixed income. So we need to have an allocation. But as you can see, they're very muted numbers there for Dolan McNary. Our international bonds are doing basically around the same. We're light there, and we know we're light. We're at just under 10% of the portfolio, or $21 million. When the ARC does come in, we will have a discussion about, you know, how we add and where we add money. So within the next few months, I would imagine we're going to be having a discussion about rebalancing the portfolio with the influx of capital, and, you know, where we're going to go and how we're going to get there. Alternatives, a lot of these are some old stale valuations. Just we're waiting for the 630 reports to tighten up. We're rounding those out now. So next month's report should have a much, much more up-to-date number. So I'm not going to spend a lot of time here. You can see some of the funds. The first section of private equity, those are illiquids, and we don't have fair valuations there. Real estate, same thing, illiquids. Don't have any values there to report. Next page, please. So page 7 moves down to, so hedge funds. So these are our liquid alternatives. So Alkeon Growth, I don't know if you folks remember last month and the month prior, they hit a little bump in the road, and we were like pretty shocked because Alkeon has done so well. Well, they came roaring back. As you can see, they're up 10.22 in 1 month, 10.88 for the quarter. So they're doing very, very well again. Like I said to you a few months ago, smart money doesn't get stupid overnight. The folks over at Alkeon are very good at what they do. And that's displayed in their numbers. Fiscal year to date, they're up 15. Their benchmark's up 0.23. 1 year lagging a bit, but 2 years, they're up just under 27% annualized per year. 3 years, 23.5% annualized per year. So those are annualized numbers. They've done a great job, and we still love Alkeon. Balyasny is a pure hedge fund, kind of just mumbling along there with their benchmark, not doing anything substantially better, except when you go out long-term, you can see 2 years are up 16 versus 6.27. So they've earned a good amount of money for you in the past. But right now, it's just kind of a muted market as we melt higher. And we'll talk a little bit about the markets momentarily. And then there's obviously the cash of the portfolio. Before I move on to the market talk, is there any other questions about anything that I've said? Questions, comments, concerns?
Derek, can I ask a question?
Sure, Mark.
And I ask this question probably on a quarterly basis, because after 2 or 3 months, my brain gets fogged up again. And I have a difficulty trying to understand why this happens. And I think it gets to the point where other entities, maybe like our Hooker and Holcomb, when they report performance of the fund, they're always lower than what's on here. And I always have problems trying to distinguish why their number, and that's the number that for some strange reason is always reported and with FRAC and with other financial entities in the city. And there's always a disconnect. We're looking at something that says our performance is at this level. And then if I read a newspaper article and I read some other financial experts within the city, they always have our performance at a much lower level. Can you tell me once again, I'm sorry I keep asking the same question over and over again, why there's so much or why there is this difference?
Sure. So I think it comes down to a few variations of reasons. First variation, I think, is, as you know, that your actuary does a report evaluation every 2 years.
Right.
So if you think about what happened in the markets over the last 2 years, the market's gone straight up. So a bulk of this performance has been accumulated over the last 2 years. So I'd argue that your next valuation report is going to look a little better. That's issue one. Issue two, as you know, Mark, they use a smoothing method. So the smoothing takes out the peaks and it takes out the troughs. So these big market swings up and the big market swings down are typically removed or mitigated in the report. So I think the smoothing has something to do with it. Also, they use the actuarial method of accounting versus, you know, this is, you know, financial versus actuarial. There is a difference in the way they calculate the numbers. And then when it comes down to the funding, the overall funded ratio, you remember they're taking all the liabilities that are accumulating and contracts, and there's a lot more that goes into their tabulation that shows the overall health of the fund. So we are looking at, hey, this is where you began, where you, you know, and where you end with this is how many dollars were in the pool at the beginning of the year and the end of the year, less withdrawals. So, I mean, this is all net of cash flows performance, but it doesn't take into consideration the smoothing. This is, as you know, monthly. If you go to a quarterly report, but even still, you're going to see a monthly report. And Hooker and Holcomb doesn't look at this every month. They just look, hey, July 1, and they look at June 30, and they look at those two numbers. They look at the cash flows in and out, and then they smooth them out. So it's a different way to look at things. I can't answer anything more than that as to why, but I'm just pointing out some of the differences here. But what we can say, what is fact, regardless of what Hooker and Holcomb puts or any periodical writes, if you remember back in 2007, where I know, Mark, you were the controller back then, this SURF fund was $205 million roughly. And from then till now, you know, obviously a lot of contributions from the city, a lot of contributions from the members, the employees, and a lot of performance from the markets. The fund is higher now than it was in 2007 prior to the financial crisis. And it's met all its obligations to pay retirees. You know, that math doesn't lie.
Okay. Thank you.
You're welcome. Any other questions? Okay. With that said, Leanna, if you could just go and talk about the market talk. So this is through September 9th, which was last Thursday. I don't have a lot to say here. What I am going to point out, though, is we're starting to see within the markets some underlying potential weakness. So we're talking about what's going on in the equity markets. And as you see, it's kind of every day you put on the TV, for the most part, the market's up, the market's up, the market's up. But what we're looking at is underneath it all, what is actually driving market participation? And there's definitely been some what we call the market breadth. We talk about this a lot. We look at different sectors, what's performing, what's not, and the rotation in between. And we'd like to see a broad breadth economic expansion, a broad breadth equity expansion. But we're starting to see some underlying weakness in the market. Doesn't mean we're going to see a market collapse or cataclysmic event here, but what we are saying is that the markets might get a little bit more challenging short term. So short term meaning the next few months, not years. So we still do like equities. We think that, you know, we have some headwinds ahead of us. Inflation, there's been a lot of talk about inflation. Inflation number came in better than expected, or less less bad than expected. I know that's not a word, but you know, the inflation, the pundits were talking about transitory inflation becoming sticky inflation. There was worries that the last inflation report was going to be a little bit more sticky, but it came in better than expected. But you know, we're still seeing some macro disappointments within the unemployment numbers, supply chain disruption. We still know, ironically, you know, as COVID here is trekking on, we still see a lot, whether it's, you know, lumber, automobiles, microchips that make automobiles, there's still a huge supply chain disruption from the fallout of COVID. So that's causing a lot of shortage of goods and prices to go up. And then there's a lot of things going on in DC about potential tax changes. So that narrative might give us a little bit of a headwind. We haven't seen a substantial pullback in equities since last October. So that's very, very unusual. But we don't see a pullback as a change in an overall bullish environment. So we think going into 2022, we're still optimistic on equities over fixed income. So we still think the fund is allocated properly, equities to fixed income ratio. We think companies are still going to beat earnings estimates, still making money. We think as earnings revisions come in, we think that companies are going to make more money, beat earnings, and the prices of these stocks going higher is going to right size the valuations of equities. So we're not overly concerned. Just saying, hey, it might get a little rocky here in the short term, but not overly concerned. Next page, please. This is just from a macro U.S. Economics, you know, we talk about non-farm payrolls. So the unemployment rate or the gains of job gains slowed. So that was a little bit of a disappointment. So we still see job openings. So that's what we call the jolts in the bottom right. They're still at a record level. So what we're saying here is even though hiring has slowed, there's still a tremendous number of job openings. So as employers try to fill those positions, try to find employees, you know, the jobs are still there. Jobs are plentiful. So that's a good thing. But, you know, we just need more people to get back into the workforce. So that's something that's a potential headwind for the markets, you know, from an economic standpoint. Next page, please. Just talked about earnings, what I was just talking about, earnings per share and price to earnings. So these are two different multiples. So as the S&P creates an increase in price, that'll tighten the price to earnings ratio on stocks. So we think, you know, there's a slight overvaluation on stocks right now, but we think as earnings come in favorably, that will right size and normalize. And certainly a market correction would certainly help as well. Next page. So we talk about stocks valuations. So that's the price to earnings per share, things of that nature. That's like a bottom up way to look at stocks. Also from a technical standpoint, from charts and momentum, as you can see, the top left chart just shows the S&P 500 just trending higher. It's a grind higher. It's in within a pretty tight trading range. We don't necessarily see a huge cataclysmic event where that will break below those moving averages. But should they correct, we think that those corrections will be gobbled up pretty quickly. So that's something we're going to keep an eye on. Next page. So one of the things we looked at, so what I mentioned earlier, as far as the underlying breadth of the recovery, we're starting to see, you know, the recovery stocks versus pandemic winners. So stocks during the pandemic were the, you know, the FANG stocks, all the technology stocks. Those are the things that did very, very well when we were in lockdown. But as we start to see that shift from pandemic winners to recovery stocks are energies, financials, consumer discretionary and industrials. Those are more of those large cap value names that we talk about versus the growthier stocks. We're starting to see that shift. And that's one of the things that we want to see happen to right-size the portfolio from growth to value. So we're starting to see that shift from pandemic winners to recovery stocks. So we're keeping an eye on that. But recovery stocks have generally underperformed, but we think that they will continue to do a little bit better. Bond yields, I don't need to spend a lot of time at bond yields. We talked about that. I mean, the 10-year has bounced around anywhere from 0.75% up to 1.75%. It sits right now just under 1.4. I think it's so that 10-year bouncing around is why a lot of our bond managers are having a tough time, because as you all know, as bond rates go up, bond values go down. So the value of the portfolio goes down as rates go up, and then conversely, as rates come down, bond values go up. So there's a lot of up and down in the bond portfolio. And until that stabilizes, we do think rates are going to stay lower for longer. The Fed raising rates is going to be definitely a tough thing for them to do. It's a delicate balance. They need to figure out how to raise rates and not choke off the equity market. So the economy needs to be on very sound footing before they raise rates. However, if sticky inflation sticks around, for lack of a better word, one of the ways that the Fed fights inflation is by cutting rates. So, or by raising rates rather, choking off inflation. So that's one of the things that they need to kind of keep in their purview. So it's going to be a delicate balance, and how the Fed handles it could have a very impactful distinction on your equity portfolio. Next page I'm going to skip is just financials and consumer discretionary. So if you could just go to two more slides down to the last page right here, small caps, page 9. One of the things that we look at is, okay, we know stocks have gone up quite a bit. We know we reduced our large cap growth portfolio because we felt like, hey, there's not a lot of opportunity left there. We rolled to value just because, as I mentioned a few slides ago, large cap value presents a little bit of an opportunity potentially, but what really presents the opportunity is small caps. So momentum, they've been range bound a bit, small caps. We saw a big run up. We had Fuller and Daywer come in. They've done very, very well. And you can see they've outperformed their benchmark, but we still like valuations on the small caps. If you look at small caps versus large cap, the S&P 500 being large cap and then the small cap, you look at earnings growth estimates in 2021 is almost double of what the earnings estimates were for large cap. 2022, significantly higher earnings expectations, earnings growth expectations. And then from a price standpoint, say, okay, what do you have to pay to get that growth? You're paying less for small cap stocks to get larger growth numbers potentially. So just from a pure fundamental standpoint, from a price standpoint, small caps look to be the better opportunity over the large cap. So we are slightly overweight small cap on your portfolio. We want to remain there. We have a great manager in your small cap space. So we want to stick with that. So from an overall standpoint of, okay, what's ahead of us? The market might get a little tumultuous over the next, 30, 60 days. That's to be expected, and it's normal. As we get capital infusions from the ARK payment, whenever that comes in, we will obviously have some strategies how to capitalize on any potential corrections in your equity portfolio. We're going to keep fixed income on the lighter side, overweight value, large value, and small cap. We might look to introduce some mid cap perhaps as well when the ARK comes in. So we're ready for it. We think the portfolio is very well suited as of right now. And we have no changes to recommend at the moment. Any questions, comments, concerns? Okay, thank you for your time.
So Jerry, it's Carolyn. Can I answer Susan's question? Which you're muted, Jerry.
You hear me now?
Yes.
Go right ahead, Carol.
Oh, Susan, this is Carolyn. There's nothing in the bylaws or the code of conduct that requires a monthly financial report or any financial reports.
Thank you. And Derek, thank you for your report. They're always very informative. I appreciate it.
My pleasure.
I think that we've conducted all business, unless I'm wrong. And if that is the case, and I'm correct, I'd like to entertain a motion to adjourn.
Mr. Chair, this is Mark Petrosimano. I'll make the motion that we adjourn.
And I'll second. This is Kathy Graves.
Motion is made and second. Is there a discussion on the motion? Usually isn't. All in favor indicate by name, identification.
Kathy Graves, aye.
Mark Petrosimano, aye.
Susan Whetstone, aye.
Michael Garmany, aye.
Jerry Sagnella, aye. That's a wrap.
Thank you, Jerry.
Jerry,
bye, everyone.
Jerry and Leanna, could you stay on after?